Well, I was reading a report yesterday on a company called Aldi. This is the discount chain that sort of sells those no-frill goods.
I bet they've got a contingency plan, don't you?
They absolutely have. And the thing is,
we're never getting bogged down in this. If they're gals on the till, if they're, you know, one might say boss-eyed gals on the till, somebody turned around and said, well, I'm not coming into work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, well, we'll get another boss-eyed gal on the till, wouldn't they?
That
would be their contingency plan.
They're not going to be hostage to their workforce, because their workforce is all 16-year-old people who don't speak English anyway.
A boss-eyed man. Maybe a generic term here. I'm using that in terms of young know-nothing.
Or working for minimum wage.
I mean, I did my first job on a till. I don't even know that's just to cover our ass here.
No, working on a till is great fun.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It is for about 20 minutes.
It used to be
when
you could push down, I think you'll agree with me here, though, when you could push down great big piano keys on a till, clang, clang, you had something going on. But I wouldn't like to sit there going, beep.
Oh, no, that's no fun.
Although, have you ever been to the Science Museum, David?
I have, yeah.
You can do that. They've got all these different exhibits at the Science Museum, thousands of things you can put your arms in, go to the moon, you know, simulators, and yet the biggest queue amongst gentlemen of a certain age is they've got a supermarket checkout counter, and it shows you how that thing reads bars, and they give you a couple of tins, and you can go, dip, dip, and, but it's the most satisfying thing in the world. You just... Now, I wouldn't want to do it for a living. I wouldn't want to do it for hour upon hour.
2 or 3 minutes. It's.
I'm sure a lot of people are saying, well, what jobs are you if you like doing that? But the queue of men around me waiting to take my tin off me and go, that was enormous. I apologise. What's happening with this company?
Right, okay. The two people that actually sort of founded the company, Carl and Theo Albrecht.
Boss-eyed,
Yeah. They're the most frugal people on this earth, I think.
Really?
That's
a mighty big claim, my friend. Yeah.
It is. I think they even sort of have a kind of policy where pencils that are not below 2 inches in length cannot be thrown away.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think it's actually a very good thing.
You should open up a bookies. None of the pencils in there.
That's where they go to.
That's where they must go.
They sell them to bookies.
Impossible to hold pencils.
So, and that's actual company policy, is it?
It is, almost, yeah. I mean, they simply run this company on
it
being cost-conscious.
Almost, the weasel word in there.
Yeah.
That says I may have made this up.
No.
Yeah,
there was a story that one of the managers was one day, you know, sort of sketching out some plans for the shop to try and sort of make it slightly more efficient. When Theo Albrecht actually wandered into the store, and he was looking over the shoulder of this manager, and he looked at the plans, and he said, that's good. That's very, very good.
But next time,
he said, can you use thinner paper, please? Because that will save us money.
Thinner paper?
Thinner paper.
Well, the world is full of these stories. It's how that fella who made a lot of money out of Swan Vesta.
Yeah.
Because he told them, stop putting strikeable material on both sides of the box. Just put it on one side. Why are you putting the abrasive material on both sides of the box? Just put it on one side.
What a clever idea.
And Swan Vesta said, oh, I see. And he saved the millions, and in turn, his little patent there went through the roof. He just spotted that and thought, why do they put the strikeable stuff on both sides of the box? Just one side. And that saved them. On such thoughts our empires turn, my friend.
Absolutely. And in fact, the two Albrecht brothers are the richest men in the world now. They are worth a staggering £25 billion.
A piece?
Well, no, between the two of them.
But even so, Bill Gates is worth more.
There's more than Bill Gates.
Bill Gates earns it every day.
Well, £25 billion is their personal fortune.
Their personal fortune, that's right.
Yeah, but Bill Gates, if he decided to cash in the chips and sell the company, would have more than 25. And I don't understand why he doesn't. Why would you keep doing it?
It is a very good question. But the thing is, these two brothers have become very reclusive now.
They do, don't they?
Unfortunately, they do. I think, you know, once they sort of get that kind of money and that kind of power, they do suddenly sort of turn into recluses.
And they don't cut their toenails. And
toenails.
No, they don't. Howard Hughes, wasn't it Howard Hughes?
Yeah,
wander around.
Cut his beard and his toenails.
And Mr. Burns in The Simpsons, not necessarily a real person. I know that. But he wandered around with his long hair.
It's Howard Hughes, because he built a spruce goose.
A spruce goose. Yeah. Well, these people should turn to philanthropists, but as you say, it's not in their heart. They've got tiny little Grinch hearts.
It isn't in their heart. I mean, wasn't it Howard Hughes who wandered around wearing a pair of Kleenex boxes on his feet.
No, yeah, but that was as a child, and I think we all did that. Are you talking as a grown-up, really?